I'm going to read this morning from the Message Bible, a reading which is quite familiar to many of us. After Jesus had risen from the dead, he appeared to his disciples many times and in many places. And one of the most famous of these is when two of his followers were on the road to Emmaus after all that had taken place. Same day, two of them were walking to the village Emmaus, about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were deep in conversation, going over all the things that had happened. In the middle of their talk and questions, Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were not able to recognize who he was. He asked, "What's this you're discussing so intently as you walk along?" They just stood there, long-faced, like they had lost their best friend. Then one of them, his name was Cleopas, said, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what's happened during the last few days?" He said, "What has happened?" They said, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in word and work, blessed by both God and all the people. Then our high priests and leaders betrayed him, got him sentenced to death and crucified him. And we had our hopes up that he was the one who would deliver Israel. And now it's the third day since it happened. But now some of our women have completely confused us. Early this morning, they were at the tomb and they couldn't find his body. They came back with the story that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of our friends went off to the tomb to check and found it empty, just as the women said, but they didn't see Jesus." Then he said to them, "So thick-headed, so slow-hearted. Why can't you simply believe all the prophets have said? Don't you see that these things had to happen, that the Messiah had to suffer and only then enter into his glory?" Then he started at the beginning with the book of Moses and went on through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to him. They came to the edge of the village where they were headed. He acted as if he was going on, but they pressed him, "Stay and have supper with us. It's nearly evening. The day is gone." So he went in with them, and here is what happened. He sat down at the table with them. Taking the bread, he blessed and broke it and gave it to them. At that moment, open-eyed, wide-eyed, they recognized him, and then he disappeared. Back and forth they talked. "Didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road, as he opened up the scriptures?" They didn't waste a minute. They were up and on their way back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their friends gathered together, talking away. "It's really happened," they said. "The Master has been raised. We have seen him." The good news of Easter that we celebrated a couple of weeks ago was made real. For the two followers on the road to Emmaus, the good news of the resurrection was obvious. After much discussion and a long, long walk, Jesus broke bread and showed them who he was. The Son of God, raised from the dead by the power of God. They may have been tired from their walk, and no doubt they were emotionally worn out from what had gone on. But in the breaking of bread, there was no mistaking. There was no confusion. There need to be no guesswork. It was obvious for these two followers that the good news of God was standing before them. He was alive. He was real. He was back. The good news of God had broken into their world and changed it forever. And it's not like this is a new thing either. We hear all the time in the Bible the good news of Jesus. In the book of Matthew, it said Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And the book of Mark says, this is the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Follows on by saying, the time has come, says John. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. And when Jesus was born, of course, in the book of Luke, we have the message by the angels which says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And then, of course, we get those famous words of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. And then he sends out the disciples who went from village to village proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. And this continues after Jesus has ascended into heaven. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Good news is littered throughout the New Testament and throughout the whole Bible. That's the overriding message. This is good news for all people. Jesus is here. God's plan has been fulfilled. This is good news. Which I always think is great if you're there at the time when the angel appears with good news. Or if you're conversing with Jesus over some bread. Or if God does some amazing supernatural event and you think, yes, this is good news. But what about now, when we don't necessarily see these tangible things? What is good news now for us today? I asked earlier, and there was a whole selection of answers of good news. And they're all good news, but they're diverse and they're varied. To some, good news would be the royal wedding, a whole day of William and Catherine. This is good news. The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge. Fancy that. Do you think they'll come?
I hope so.
Or good news might be for others the fact that Manchester United have reached the Champions League final. Who cares, you all say. But for some, that would be good news. Or good news for some would be that the alternative vote was defeated. That might be good news for some. Or good news for some would be the announcement that Osama bin Laden has been killed. Or for those gardeners among us, that the rain has finally fallen in the east of England, if only a little. We want more, they say. Good news is varied, depending on who reads it, who it comes to, what their lives are like at the time. Because, you see, good news is good news for some, but for others, it's simply not. And so in among all this good news today that we hear, all these things that affect us, we have the good news that the Bible proclaims. The fact that Jesus is alive, the fact that the resurrection has taken place, the fact that life is now different. There's hope, there's love, there's forgiveness, there's freedom for all people. And we're told this is good news for everyone, everywhere. But in among all this other good news that we hear, how do we make the good news of Jesus known? How are people supposed to realise that the good news of Jesus is good news for them? Because it's good news for everyone. We're going to watch a DVD now, which might help to answer some of those questions. So settle back and look at the screen.
good news lies with us.
I wonder whether you think that we are building a new world within the world in which we live, or whether you think that's a little bit extreme. I think that's what we're doing. I think that's what we should be doing. That people should look at us and think, that's good news. That's different. That's what I want to be part of. I wonder if we see our own lives as signs of the good news to others. I wonder if we know what good news is. I wonder if we know how to show good news to others. There's lots of questions. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at good news. What is the good news of God? What is the gospel? What is it we should be showing to others? And then we're going to be asking the question, well, how do we do it? How do we become this revolutionary body that shows people what life should really be like?